It's time now to reflect on the just concluded mining indaba in Cape Town. I've got two fantastic guests who are going to help us wade through a number of issues around the future of mining and perhaps in a bigger sense around the future of this economy. Tebelo Chabana is the Public Affairs and Transformation Senior Executive at the Minerals Council of South Africa. And of course, we've got one of the top mining analysts in the country, Peter Major, joining us for this conversation. Welcome to you both. I'll start with you, Tebelo. Firstly, let's reflect on the president's speech, because I think that was, of course, the keynote address. It's been received and welcomed in many sectors, but the cynic might argue that although, of course, the president said all the right things, he hit all the right notes, he really was acknowledging things that were already known. What's to be done about it?
Good morning, Bongani, and to your listeners too. But, you know, Bongani, it's still significant that the president acknowledges these things. Yes, it was really quite a successful mining endeavor. It was good to get back together again and see people in the flesh. So, you know, he highlighted a few things that, you know, the industry is really leading in when it comes to innovation and capable of scaling up certain technologies. I mean, you know, we've got the hydrogen economy opportunities, and, you know, one of the mining companies producing their hydrogen-driven truck. He also spoke a bit about how the mining industry has helped stabilize the economy and the fiscus in the country, which is actually significant. I mean, we've done this now for the last 2 years. You'll know that out of the 120 billion extra taxes that we received in the 2021 fiscal year, 92 billion of that came from mining. So we, you know, 150 years later, this industry is really still supporting the economy. Look, he also didn't shy away from some of the challenges. We're operating in a very tough environment. There's high levels of crime. Expenses are quite high. We've got irregular electricity supply. And yes, we've got logistical challenges, but what was important that, you know, he made commitments, for instance, to resolve 80% of the water license backlog within 90 days. So what we want to see, Bongani, is the commitments from the president, and that these commitments must then be mirrored by the ministers. Then you'll take them seriously. Absolutely.
Look, there have been some positive developments, to be fair. You mentioned the water licenses within 90 days, but obviously also the 100 megawatts of our own power generation. Those are certainly good things to take, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, look, we think that is pretty much one of the biggest decisions that's been made, you know, relating to structural reform in the last few years. And you know, so we have data showing that, you know, our members can, you know, can be generating up to 4.2 gigawatts of energy projects. And this represents about a third of the industry's electricity consumption. So this will really, really contribute to help to bridging this electricity supply deficit that the country has.
And ease up the pressure on the grid. Peter Major, goodness. Let's bring you into the conversation. I first spoke to you, gosh, almost 12 years ago, and it's extraordinary to me how some of those conversations remain pretty much the same. Philosophically, you might argue that this government was damned if it did and damned if it didn't. In the 90s, there was this understanding that perhaps we needed to diversify our economy. Mining was seen as a kind of sunset industry. We needed to move on. But as Debele has just pointed out, 150 years of mining is what built this economy.
Bongani, you're 100% right. And why do people just arbitrarily decide mining should be a sunset industry? We should diversify. I mean, who decided that, and why did they decide that? Did Cyril and Gwede Mantosh sit down 20, 30 years ago and say, hey, we don't think it's correct. We have 580,000 men in gold mining. So we're going to do what we can to reduce that 580 down to 80. And that's where we are today. We've lost 500,000 jobs in gold mining. Now, what kind of just transition is that? And if you want to diversify, does that mean you have to close down your dominant sector? And so now it's closer in relative size to the other sectors? if you want to diversify, why not build up your other sectors? You know, they could have left mining the same size and built up the other sectors. But instead, we've gone from total employment in mining of about 850,000 men down to about 450,000 men. And I've never heard President Ramaphosa, even Cyril Ramaphosa, give a bad speech. You know, when if he's speaking about COVID, if he's speaking at the mining Indaba, I've never, whoever writes his speeches, I think they're one of the better speech writers in the country. You know, Mr. Ramaphosa seems to choose his words carefully and thoughtfully. But as you just mentioned, we've kind of heard these speeches for about 12 years now. And in business, people are looking for action. And
we've got to walk the talk, yeah?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be big action overnight. It'd be great if it was. But we talk about a cadastre system that keeps track of everybody's licenses. And most of Africa uses the best one in the world, which just happened to be developed and based in Cape Town. And they talk about tenders. It's taken 2 years to go out for tender. You don't go out for tender for a Microsoft Windows package. You walk across the street, you buy it, you implement it. So you have to think there's something subtle under all this. You know, there's more than meets the eye. It doesn't take you 2 years to walk across the street, buy a spatial dimension cadastre system, put all your licenses on it, and bingo, we're on par with the rest of the world.
Tibelo, I mean, I'm hearing Peter's frustration there, and that's what I meant in the beginning when I say it's great that he acknowledged these things, but we already knew them. I mean, when Roger Baxter says, and I think he gave a figure of 4,500, the number of projects that are stuck in the approval process, projects worth in excess of, 10 billion rand? I mean, that's an extraordinary figure. Is it 100 billion rand? Tibelo, that kind of thing is just frustrating, surely.
It is frustrating, Bongani, and it just shows you that the potential that the mining industry has in terms of growth. Now, you know, the regulator will assure us that, I mean, I think now they're doing 1,000 per year. So I don't know what the exact number in terms of tiering, but this is a big challenge. I mean, if the industry was allowed to grow, if we got those licenses, we've actually demonstrated the kind of contribution, that further contribution that it can make to the economy of the country. So that is a frustration. You know, just back to Peter's point about cadastre for some, I mean, this is such an essential tool. It's your management tool for, you know, to understand what's happening in the country, you know, where's mining taking place, where are the opportunities, where can I, as an investor, essentially come in. And yet we don't have one functioning, we don't have it available to us, unlike many other countries, even on the continent here. And it's something that has just taken way too long to get fixed. And we agree with Peter. You know, it mustn't be anything bespoke. It doesn't have to be a bespoke system. There are tried and tested systems out there that can actually be utilized. So we don't understand why we're going for this bespoke system that is so complicated.
And of course, just Peter, maybe let's get a layperson's explanation of this mining cadastral system and why the view is that it's going to be a critical piece of the puzzle to ensure the re-emergence of exploration in this country.
Well, look, I'm an IT illiterate. I can barely run a cell phone. But I can go onto Google and I can type in Zambia mineral properties or Zambia mining licenses. And it just comes up. Bingo, there's a map of Zambia, and then you just push the dial that increases your magnifying glass on it, and it just zooms in, just like a Google Earth. It zooms in on the city of Kabwe, the city of Lusaka, and you see all the squares and funny shapes, and you keep zooming in, and it says, license granted on this date, who it's granted to, and when license expires. And honestly, a retard can run this thing in 30 seconds. You can run it from your cell phone. If you type it in after this, call me if you don't get what I'm saying. And it's just so simple and easy so people can see, this is the guy I have to talk to. This is who has the license. Look, it was granted on this date. Oh, it says mining license or prospecting license. And as we just heard, 4,500 licenses are sitting there. That means there's 4,500 deals that can't be done, and most deals involve investment, and most investment has to come from outside the country because locals are worried about investing in new projects. They just want to invest in existing ones because it's too risky. It's a domino effect. And yeah, I think there's more than $100 billion that would come in if all those licenses were available. So Cousin Ramaphosa says 90 days for a license. I remember Susan Shibanda saying things like that 10 or 12 years ago. It's just pie in the sky.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a water use license that gets granted in less than a year. It's not going to happen.
All right. Debello, I mean, I suppose then it's not surprising that we're in the bottom 10 of the Fraser Institute rankings. If I want to put a positive spin on this conversation, let's talk perhaps a wider issue now. The push for renewable energy is obviously a no-brainer, and mining can play a pivotal role in that, we now understand. But here's one that I need you both to answer for me. All the major economies built their wealth on fossil fuels. You look at Europe, you look at America, you look at what China has been doing of late. Part of the question we must ask is, why should Africa be left in the dust? And at the same time, how do we ensure that Africa forges ahead and not languish in poverty without ignoring the challenge and the crisis of climate change? Debello, let's start with you.
Yeah, so I think very quickly on this one, Magani, I think it's essential to realize that we're not talking about a phasing out of, for instance, of coal. It's maybe a phasing down of coal, which is quite essential. And yes, you're right. I mean, why should Africa be responsible for taking the brunt when we haven't been responsible for the majority of the emissions and, you know, the impact in the environment to date? So we've got to do it in a manner that works with us, that is sustainable, but also that does not put our economy in jeopardy at all. There are about 90,000 employees in the coal mining industry, so that's why we talk about this transition being just. And I think people are recognizing that it must be so. It must be just for employees, it must be just for communities. And then just lastly, it's interesting, though, that Europe is very interested now in our coal because of what's happening in the Ukraine. But it just shows you, Bongani, that whatever you do, you must be very careful in your actions so that you don't compromise your economy.
Peter, is it fair then to describe someone like Gwede Mandashe as a coal fundamentalist, as some have?
Look, I think he's acting like it, Bongani, and maybe there's a little guilt that he's partially responsible for 500,000 men losing their job in gold. So now he says, geez, I don't want anybody to lose their job in coal. But we're producing the same coal we were 20 years ago, the same coal. But we've almost doubled our employment in coal. You know, if you go back a few years, I think we only had about 55, 60,000 men in coal. Now we have, 90, 95,000. So are we going to let the fate of 30,000 coal miners determine the direction of this whole country of 63 million people? And, hey, people aren't going to get laid off tomorrow, but let's not put more future emphasis, let's not put more future spending in coal. You know, this R500 billion that we put into Mudepe, Mandupi, and Kusili, R500 billion. Geez, we don't need to take very much of that to create new jobs. And had we gone ahead with our various phases of alternative energy that we opened those windows for foreigners to bid on back in 2004, 2005, 2006, they would have created multiples of that additional 30,000 men that we've added in coal. Had the government not reneged on it, once the people came down here, bid, won all those tenders, started constructing plants to build the giant blades for the windmills and all the solar panels, now they've closed all those businesses and gone overseas because we refused to hook them up to